This week's parsha is Parshas Nitzavim. But I don't want to talk, or I won't talk tonight, about Parshas Nitzavim. Rather, tonight and tomorrow is Kaf Gimel Elul. And I want to talk about Kaf Gimel Elul. Specifically about Kaf Gimel Elul, Tavshin Samach Aleph. 15 years ago. I don't know, you were very young, Tavshin Samach Aleph. But there's some parts of that day that I remember very clearly. It was Kaf Gimel Elul in the afternoon, and I was in the middle of teaching Ha'isha Bar Mitzvot here in MMY, and Rabbi Katz walked into the classroom. And he had that look on his face. Tavshin Samach Aleph was a very, very difficult year. In the middle of an intifada, there were many piguim. And every time there was a pigua, especially in Yerushalayim, he would come around to make sure that everybody was accounted for. And he walked in with that look on his face. And I asked him one question. I said, where? Shalim, Tel Aviv. And he looked at me and he said, it's not us, it's them. Looking at the students. And I didn't understand what he was saying. But you see, Kaf Gimel Elul Tavshin Samach Aleph was September 11th, 2001. Commonly known as 9/11. And the news reports had just said the two planes had crashed into the Twin Towers. And later another plane into the Pentagon. The fourth plane was downed in Pennsylvania, ostensibly headed for the White House. And he wasn't walking into class to check to make sure we were all right. He was walking into class so that the students could be in touch with their parents to make sure that they were all right. Tonight and tomorrow is Kaf Gimel Elul. 9/11 took place exactly 1 week before Rosh Hashanah. A week from tonight is Rosh Hashanah. And if you were to ask me why 9/11 took place just before Rosh Hashanah, I would tell you why. I don't know why. But if you'll ask me, is there a message that can be learned? Is there some connection that we can see between 9/11 and Rosh Hashanah? I think the answer might be yes. And the answer would be based on a sicha that Rav Nevensal gave. Nevensal, the Rav of the Old City, the Dir Atika. It's a sicha he gave before 9/11. But looking back at the Sicha and thinking of 9/11, I think there's an interesting connection. Nevensal asked the following question. It's a question that we had mentioned in the Shir Klali last week when we talked about the davening of Rosh Hashanah. And that is, if you take a look at the davening of Rosh Hashanah, we see that there's almost no mention at all of Chatoim. As opposed to the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, and most certainly Yom Kippur, when there's a tremendous emphasis on the Vidui, on Ashamnu, Bagadnu, on Yom Kippur, Al Chait. In Rosh Hashanah, we don't have any mention of it. And nevertheless, Rosh Hashanah is considered one of the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, two of the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. And we know that to do tshuva, you need to recognize the chait, you have to regret the chait, you have to be mekabel, that you won't do it in the future, and you need to have vidui. You have to confess the chait. How? How could Rosh Hashanah be part of the Aseres Yemei Tshuva if there's no vidui? So I want to now tell you a little bit what Rav Nevensal said. Imagine if you have a very tall building. And you want to come and you want to knock down the building. You want to rebuild on the area. How do you knock down the building? So there are two ways to do it. You can start at the top floor, and you can start banging away until you destroy the top floor. And then you go down a little bit, and you go to the next floor, and you bang and you knock until that floor gets destroyed. And then you keep going lower and lower until you get to the ground floor and destroy that as well. That's one way in which one could destroy a building. There's another way to destroy the building. And the other way to destroy the building is to weaken the foundations of the building. Because if you sufficiently weaken the foundations of a building, then the building is going to collapse. And the whole thing is going to come tumbling down. And that, Reb Nevinzal said, is the difference between Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah. On Yom Kippur, we come to this building, this edifice of chatoyim, of averot that we've unfortunately built up the entire year. And on Yom Kippur, we come along and we attack it floor by floor. Ashamnu, bagadnu, al chet shechatanu lefanecha ba'onus uberatzon, val chet shechatanu lefanecha b'imetzalev, al chet shechatanu lefanecha b'blidas, val chet shechatanu lefanecha b'vitui svatzayim. Chet by chet, we come and knock down this edifice of averos. That's the avod of Yom Kippur. But in Rosh Hashanah, our avod is different. We don't go after chet by chet, level by level. Rosh Hashanah, we go after the foundation. We go after the yisod. And our avod on Rosh Hashanah is to undermine the yisod, the foundations of this huge building of averos that we built up in the last year. Now, how do we do that? What exactly is the foundation of this building that we want to destroy? The story is told of the Chafetz Chaim. There was a person who owned a tavern. He sold wine, whiskey, beer. Jewish guy. For a long time, like everybody else, he kept his tavern closed on Shabbos, even though many of his customers were goyim. But parnasa was difficult, and he felt more and more impoverished. He decided he was going to open up his tavern on Shabbos and serve the goyim. So Chafetz Chaim went to speak to him. Chafetz Chaim asked him, why, after all these years, are you opening up your store on Shabbos? The man turned to him and says, Rabbi, life is so difficult, parnasa is so hard, I'm not making enough money. I need to open up on Shabbos so I can make more money, so I can feed my family, afford to buy shoes for my children, fix the leaky roof. I have no choice. I need more money. So the Chafetz Chaim looks around at the tavern and he sees there are these big barrels of wine, very large barrels, and they have a spigot, a faucet. Turns to the tavern owner and he says to him, if you open up if the barrel is full and you open up the spigot, how many gallons of wine can you get out of the barrel? The person said, get 50 gallons of wine. He says, how much can you sell 50 gallons of wine for? He says, he gives him a figure. So the Chafetz Chaim says, ah, I have a solution for your problem. Put another spigot on the barrel, make two faucets for the barrel, and this way you can get twice as much wine out of the barrel, and you can make twice as much money from the barrel of wine. Tavern owner looks at the Chafetz Chaim. Doesn't understand. They say the Chafetz Chaim was a smart man. He says, Rabbi, says there's only a certain amount of wine in the barrel. Whether I put on a second spigot or a third spigot, it's only going to come out to 50 gallons. That's the amount of wine that's in the barrel. It may come out faster, it may come out slower, but I'm not going to get more than 50 gallons out of the barrel. Chavetz Chaim turns to the person and he says, we're told the amount of money that a person makes, that he's destined to make, his parnasa for the year, is determined on Rosh Hashanah. It's a set amount of money in that barrel in Shamayim. You can put on one spigot, two spigots, three spigots. You can work 5 days a week, 6 days a week, 7 days a week. You're not going to make any more money than the barrel that's there. The money will come out faster, it'll come out slower. But it's the same amount of money. You don't make any more than the amount of money that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has predetermined you're going to get just because you work 7 days. Says Rav Nevinson, the foundation of that building of Averis that we've created is based on the fact that we sometimes too often forget who runs the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls our parnasa. We have to do our ishtadlus. Go out to work. We have to make our effort. But at the end of the day, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's going to decide how much we make. And by defying HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're not going to make any more money. If it's his decision, then we need to work with it. Working against him isn't going to advance us any further. On the contrary, it's going to set us back. The person who goes ahead to work on Shabbos because he thinks he's going to make more parnasa is just so mistaken. The person who thinks that he can cheat in business and cheat other people and this way he'll end up with more money, he's forgetting who controls his parnasa. Do we really think that in the long run HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to shower you with blessings of money because you went ahead, became a Ramai, became a thief? That's the way you're going to make parnasa? Yes, I know. In the short run, you might think that there'll be a certain amount of money more than you used to make. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an excellent accountant. Ve'ein shichacha lifnei kisei kvodo. He doesn't forget anything. In the end, we don't win. We only lose when we work against it. And if we speak in a certain way, or we dress in a certain way, or we act in a certain way because we want to become more socially accepted, and we think this will advance us in our social interactions, and we'll be happier because of that. But if we do it in such a way that goes against what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of us, will we really succeed? Do we really think so? Do we forget who pulls all the strings in this world? And if we're seeking pleasure in life, and we do things that we're not supposed to do, will our lives ultimately be more pleasurable? Do we really fool ourselves into thinking that way? And the answer is, unfortunately, yes. So many times during the year, we seem to ignore the fact that ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running this world. We just temporarily forget it, put it off to the side, ignore it. And we think we determine everything. If I just do this, if I just do that, then I can succeed here and succeed there. Okay, Torah is Torah, but business is business, pleasure is pleasure, social standing is social standing. Still go to shul. But I want to control my life. What's our avodah of Rosh Hashanah? What's the key of the avodah of Rosh Hashanah? It's to recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech. That's what it's all about. So often, from the beginning to the end of Rosh Hashanah, we keep emphasizing Malchuso Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because if he is the king, he's in charge and he makes the decision. We can ask, we can request, we can do our ishtadlus. But our ishtadlus has to work with him. When our ishtadlus works against him, why in the world would we think that we'll be successful? Who are we fooling? And therefore throughout Rosh Hashanah, HaMelech HaKadosh, HaMelech, Melech al kol ha'olam kulo b'chvodecha, Melech Elyo, time and time again, Zacheinu l'chayim melech hafeitz b'chayim. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the melech. And he's in charge. And if we want to succeed in whatever areas we want to succeed, then the thing we must always remember is that if he's in charge, let me work with him. The planes crashed into the Twin Towers and the upper stories were on fire. I don't think anybody thought that what was going to happen a short time later was going to happen. The upper parts of the building would be destroyed. But if you've seen the pictures, in a moment, in a fraction of a second, without any warning, one tower came crumbling down. Seconds later, the other tower came crumbling down. The foundations had been so weakened by the plane crashes, the building couldn't stand. The buildings collapsed. That was the tragedy of Kaf Gimel Elul. But that same idea of weakening the foundations of Kaf Gimel Elul, that tragedy can turn to triumph 1 week later on Rosh Hashanah. If we weaken the foundations of our fooling ourselves into thinking that we're in charge, if we spend Rosh Hashanah properly, reminding ourselves that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech, that he pulls the strings, he controls everything. When we work with him, we succeed. When we work against him, it's doomed for failure. If we destroy that foundation of ignoring HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if we weaken it, then when we come to Yom Kippur with just a little knock of Hashamnu, a little bang of Al-Chait, the foundations have been so weakened that that little bang, boom, can knock down the whole building. Rosh Hashanah prepares us for Yom Kippur. It weakens everything. And on Yom Kippur, when we start going chait by chait, it's so much easier. We can destroy that building. And we can triumph. Because the building can then be rebuilt. Building that's rebuilt based on our acknowledgement, our understanding, our consciousness of Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs this world. And that building will ultimately be a building that's a Binyan Adayat, a permanent edifice, an edifice that we can all be proud of. An edifice that will Be'ezras Hashem grant us all Iksiva V'chasima Tova. Before we say Tehillim, this week, as I said, it's Parshas Nitzavim. Next week is Parshas Vayelach. Sometimes the Parshiot are together, this year it's separate. But there is no Sunday night Seder next Sunday night, because it's Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, tonight, during Parsha, we're going to do both Parshat Nitzavim and Parshat Vayelach, which, even though they're double Parshiot combined, is still quite short. Still quite short. Parshat Nitzavim is only 40 psukim. It is the second shortest Parsha in the Torah. Vayelach is 30 psukim, which is the shortest Parsha in the Torah. Combined, it's 70 psukim, which is quite a short Parsha, but enough to keep us busy for a while. So we're going to be doing both Parshios, but first we'll say Perek Zayin of Tehillim.